How was the conference so far? Whoa, it's okay. How was the lunch? Oh. How was walking? How was the giveaways, the swag? Okay, so what can I do today to make you feel better? Throw some sweets or so, I don't know. Okay, here we go. Nice to see you all, but this direction, I don't see anybody because it's too bright. But we will figure it out. Yeah, welcome to this late session. Use server-based personal computing or server-based desktops in Server 2016. My name is Eric Berg. I'm MVP for Cloud and Data Center Management. And I'm from Germany. I'm a senior IT architect and, doing all the stuff around client management, server management, on-premises, and also in the cloud. So maybe someone has been to one of my theater sessions earlier, or if not, you can visit me tomorrow. There are four additional sessions where you can see me. So what we want to have a look at today is server-based personal desktop. So why are you here? What's so interesting on this topic? Personal desktops, nobody needs it, or? We have iPhones, we have iPads, we have Macs, maybe Androids. We have Windows phones, not so long. But they are still there. I have one here, the last one maybe. And so, yeah, maybe we need some personal desktops in the future, I think so. So what's actually the problem with personal desktops? Let's have a look into it. But first, let us have a look into RDS in Server 2016. Maybe some of you have been to a session earlier regarding RDS and Server 2016, and they heard a lot of it. I'll just break it down to one or two slides of it. So actually, what do we have in it? We have a good solution for on-premises application and desktop publishing, because it's working, actually. The earlier years, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I was a Citrix man. I had Citrix XenApp and Xen Desktop, and it was working well. And then the first customer came and said, hey, what about RDS? Can we use it? Can you help us? And I have switched a complete infrastructure from Xen Server, Xen Desktop, and XenApp to Hyper-V, hard game this time. To RDS and to Windows VDI. It was a bit difficult, but actually it was working. And they are running this today, and they grow their VDI up to 70,000 desktops, actually. What you can't do is managing with the UI. That's not possible with 70,000 endpoints. But there's a cool thing, I don't know if you know it, it's called PowerShell. Maybe some of you have heard about it. It's a pretty cool thing, and we will see some PowerShell later this day. So what we still have on-prem is session-based computing, so the good old remote desktop services. Yeah? Everybody knows it. Everybody knows how it's working. That's the good old stuff. What we also have, virtual desktop infrastructure. How many of you running a VDI? How many of you are from Germany and running a VDI? Yeah, that's interesting. Who is using Bring Your Own Device? Okay. Whom of them is from Germany? You can see. And Germany is totally different than the world, I think. That's why we get a separate cloud, and you not. Yeah, it is so. And that's the same thing. VDI, it's a hard thing in Germany. It's hard to convince. It's hard to talk about benefits. They love the metal. They like to, I don't know. VDI, it's still there. But in Germany, for me, it's not so often. But it's working now. And it's also in 2016 with better performance and with some new cool features. But we're not just on-premises, actually. We are also in the cloud. And there was a great feature called Azure Remote App. Who has used it? One, two, no. Okay. Remote app is never continued. So we're waiting for XenApp Express now. Nobody knows how it's looking. But actually, I've got a customer who's interested in Azure Remote App because he just needs, for the Christmas time, he needs 300 additional workers in his environment. And that's a great thing. Just put them into the cloud, run them for 3 months, and then throw them away. So Azure Remote App is gone. So what should we do now? What we can do, session-based computing in the cloud. So that's okay. That's nothing new. It's just putting your servers anywhere else than into your own data center. So that's okay. But what about running kind of a VDI in Azure? That's not so, well, it's not possible because you won't find Windows client licenses in Azure. I know MSDN, but it doesn't count to it. So it's not even possible to run a full VDI in Azure. Also because you don't have access to the hypervisor. And actually, you need access to the hypervisor to do this. So what we actually just can do is deliver applications from the cloud. So this is possible, this is okay, but not in a full-blown VDI scenario. But this is a good base to start with. What we've done also, a good approach to make graphics in remote desktop services better. Who likes graphics in RDS? Okay, one. Lucky guy. But it's getting even better. Let's look back to 2008 R2. So we started Remote FX vGPU. It was, it was a feature on the presentation, but it was not so nice as it was called. Then we had 2012, and we started with DirectX, and we started using virtual GPUs in VMs. It was great. And then we go further to 2012 R2 with higher memory for video, with a higher resolution, with a better scale for your environment. And this was working very, very well. And now let's have a look at 2016. Yeah, there's something inside. So OpenGL, 1 gigabyte dedicated video RAM. 1 gigabyte, this is okay so far. We have 4K resolution support in it. That's also cool. We have a new thing. It's called server VM support. Let's have a look at this later. We have a better performance from the RDS side, from the connection broker side, from all the sites which really belong to our RDS scenario. We have the full API support, native GPU driver support, and so on. And actually, if we have a look into Azure, someone heard about the N-Series VMs. Okay. There are graphic cards, GPUs in it. You can leverage them for high-performance computing, for rendering, or something like this. But think about using them for remote desktop services, for example. I don't know. But what about personal session desktops? So what we have today is normal session desktops, 50 users per desktop, 20 users per desktop. Nobody knows how much will fit on it. And the user is not able to change anything. So, but we're not able to do a full VDI. That's a big problem. Does everybody know why we don't get client licenses in Azure? Who knows it? Okay, I will explain to you. So when Microsoft is running Azure, they also have to pay licenses. Yeah, and they have a service provider license agreement to themselves. That's a bit strange, but it is so. And in a service provider license agreement, there is no client licensing. It isn't there. And so also Microsoft is not able to use Windows client licenses in a server infrastructure as a service provider. And so we won't see VDI with Windows 10, for example, in Azure, actually. We have no access to the hypervisor level. The deepest access we get, actually, is a view of the VM when it is booting. That is not really hypervisor access. So I cannot deploy VMs on hypervisor level. So it's not working in the Microsoft way. So what we do now, it's easy. We just deploy normal Windows Server VMs. We can do this. We can do this on-prem. We can do this in the cloud through the UI. We can do it through PowerShell with remote management. You can choose the way you want. And now we go ahead and assign a single VM, server VM, to a single user. And so the user has his own VM. And then he can work with his VM, not just with the applications on it. He can really work with the VM. We can enable him to get his applications into his terminal server. We can enable him maybe to have administrative rights. I don't know if this is good, but we're able to. And we can do it that it is not managed. So it is your desktop, it is your desktop, and it is your desktop. But it is run in a full-blown session host deployment. Admin rights, I said it already. And we have the full virtual GPU support. So probably we can run AutoCAD, whatever graphics-intensive application in Azure now for our end users. This is a great thing. So because this wasn't really, we weren't able to do this earlier. How does it look like when we do this? So actually, we are not able to do this through the UI. Okay? It is so. We need PowerShell. This is what why I asked you if everybody is familiar with PowerShell. We have the standard commandlet new RD session collection. And there is a new switch. It's called personal unmanaged. If you had a look at the earlier technical previews of 2016, it had another name, but actually the GA naming is personal unmanaged. You can decide if you want to grant your users administrative privileges, and you do not have to configure this on GPO level or whatever. You can do it in the collection level and switch it on or switch it off. And then you can decide if you want to auto-assign desktops to particular users. So the user will log in, will get the first free host, and this is his host. And we will keep it till we remove it. Or we do a one-to-one redirection, and I say, OK, you are user of remote desktop session host 1, you are user of 2, 3, 4, and so on. This is what we can do, actually. If this is done automatically, it's important for us which server belongs to which user, I think. Or it would be great to know this. So we've got the second PowerShell commandlet, get RD personal session desktop assignment. Yeah, they're growing and growing and growing. And in 2 years, we need a separate screen for the full command, I think. So we can get a list of all the assignments, actually, server to user, server to user. And we can also set this manually. If I want to say, OK, this particular user should use VM 34, I can do this. That's not a problem. And also, I can remove this assignment. If the user does not any longer needs this VM, I can remove him from the assignment, and the machine is free for the next user. So this will work out very, very well. So now we have one problem. Do you know how SLAs are working in Azure? How much SLA do you get for a single server VM in Azure? Zero. There's no SLA for a VM in Azure. You need two VMs in a so-called availability group or availability set. Then you have an SLA. So actually, this deployment does not have an SLA. So probably the manual assignment is not the best way. Because if the server of a particular user is gone, he has nothing to log on. That's a bit difficult. So let's think about it. Auto-assign user is not as bad as it sounds. But you have to check the assignments on a regular basis. You also can export and import these things, probably if you want to rebuild your full infrastructure, maybe with the, I don't know, server 2019 or so. You can export all the assignments and later can import all the assignments. Or if you run actually a test environment of it, you can bring it to a production environment of it. So also these in and output is suitable. So how does it look in Azure, actually? We have an optimized architecture of this. So what we have on the upside, There are Azure services. We have our Azure Management Portal. We have our load balancers, very important. If we need our web access or remote desktop connection brokers and so on, because they are still alive. And we have Azure Active Directory. Then we have our hosting. And on the base down there, there's our fabric with compute, storage, network, where all our VMs will run later. So what we need first is a network. I think this is okay for everybody. In several scenarios, we also need a VPN. Otherwise, we can't use enterprise applications because we need to connect to our own infrastructure, actually. Yeah, and then we just need a connection broker, a licensing server, and a gateway. And probably a web server would be good. And with this, we can put all our session hosts online. The great thing here is only the things on the upper side, connection broker, licensing, gateway, and web servers, have to be online all the time because you need them to log in into your VM. The session hosts just have to be online when the user wants to use it. So how long do you work? How many of your users work 24/7? I hope nobody, but nobody knows. In general, in Germany, we work from 8 to 5. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1 hour break, beautiful. So why should I run my RDS machines in the night at 11 p.m. or at 4 a.m.? It's not necessary. So what can I do now is I can shut down my session hosts at night or at 8 p.m. and start them at 5 a.m. And then this is a very interesting case because you just pay for particular maybe 12 hours a day. And then there's a cost benefit of it. Because if you run them 24/7, it will cost you a lot of money. Because Azure, yeah, is also cost intensive if you run 24/7. But here we can say we run a VDI, and this is in the end a VDI because every user has a single desktop, with a cloud-driven model of just running the VM when the user is really using it. And if you have something like Follow the Sun or something, you can use it. It's not a problem. And then you have just 12 hours of usage per day, and you pay just 12 hours of usage per day. And that's pretty cool. So cost is one thing. So actually, we deploy one VM for every user. So compute cost will be there, and storage cost. We cannot deduplicate it, so we have the storage cost. But we can scale. We can shut down. This is one point we can do. But we can also scale in a way that we say, okay, this morning it is an A2 with just, I don't know, 2 cores and 3 gig of RAM. And in the evening it is an A7 with, I don't know, 16 cores and 400 gig RAM. I don't know the models, actually. And so you can scale like you need it. And so you go and get into a cost-effective way of working with your VDI in Azure. So what we do, deploy a Windows server, assign a user, do not manage it, have admin rights, and have a vGPU. Now let's have a look how this looks like. I just have to find the demo. That's great if it's working. Stop this, change this. No. Do you see my screen? Not yet. Help me. Why they don't see my screen? That's strange. Let's do so. It's okay. I will put it over there. Okay, I pre-recorded this as a video because I won't, do it with a Wi-Fi because I don't know how good it is here. In Germany, it's not as good as it should be. So let's first have a look at a standard deployment of RDS. Maybe everybody knows it. You can do it through the UI. Just go ahead, select a standard deployment. What we do is a session-based deployment, actually. Then we select our role services. So my connection broker has gone to RDS 01. My web access is also on 01, And then I have this 2 and 3 for my session host, actually. So put it over, confirm this all, deploy this, reboot the session host, and you're done. So in the GUI way, it's pretty easy. You can do all of this through PowerShell if you like to. But just for demoing, it's great to see in the GUI. So now we see our 3 servers added to the remote desktop services deployment. But actually, there's no collection. So in the standard, there's no collection. So if we have a look at a website, there's nothing to see for us. What we do now, we add a collection here. And if we go there, just add a collection, give the collection a name. Ignite collection is a good name, I think. And then we select the session hosts. Actually, there's no way for us to choose a way of personal desktops. So I will stop here. You've seen. Actually, I just give a name, select the session hosts, select who can use it, and that's all. So no assignment, no deployment model, or something like this. So what do we get in the end? Let's run it. We confirm this, we create it. We will get a standard deployment where we can access the desktops, but in a randomized way. So we will land on one of these desktops depending on the load of the machines. So yeah, there it is, Ignite collection. And in Ignite collection, there are just the 2 servers. There's no application published. It's just desktop access. So let's switch over to the machine itself, or to the web portal itself. We see it now. We can connect to it. Come on, guy, click it. We can connect to it. And now we are sent to one of those servers. So in this scenario, it's not possible to get administrative rights because, yeah, we have to give them administrative rights to every server in our farm. And this is not what we want, actually. So we see it here. It's RDS02. That's OK. So just let it log off. Then I will disable one of them, and we automatically send to the second one. So this is what we expect when we deploy this, I think. So now new connections are not allowed on this one. So let's reconnect to the same application. And we are reconnected to the server 3. So that's all what we expect. And now I'm interested what you expect when we do the other deployment. So hostname, RDF3, like expected. So now we want to do a server-based personal desktop. We can't do this with the GUI. Actually, it's not possible. So we have to do it in a PowerShell way. And that's what we do. So I have, let me stop this here. I have some variables. So what is my connection broker? What are my session hosts? What are my users? So I choose my own, and I choose Marcus Klein, good friend of mine. And I had a collection name, Ignite Personal Desktop Session Hosts. So I will start adding all the variables into it. Here we go. There it is. OK, it's nothing new for you, I think. Now let's go ahead and run the first part of the script. We get our actual session collection, which is a standard session collection. And read it. Here we are. We can find it there. It's our Ignite collection. Now we want to go and remove this session because nobody needs it anymore. So let's go ahead, remove this collection, fire and forget. It's gone now. Some seconds later, it's gone. What we do now, we could have a look at the website. There's nothing more for us to see. And also, the collection is gone after a refresh. Everything is undone, what we have done before. But what we can see down there, our 2 host servers are still available to build up a new collection. Keep that in mind for a later point of view. So let's start it over. And what we built here is a new RD session collection. We'll give it a collection name. We name the connection broker. We name all our session hosts. So you have to deploy them earlier. And then we set it to personal unmanaged, like seen before. And if we have this to personal unmanage, I also grant administrative privileges. That's great. So just run it. Click. And now it's the same like doing in the UI, but in a PowerShell way. And the difference is that you don't see it in the UI anymore. So this collection is gone. So this makes managing this scenario a bit more complicated, but what we see here, actually we have our collection back online in the web portal, and we can connect to it. But if we look at the server manager, after refreshing, the host servers are gone. They are not any longer available to be added to a standard session host collection, but we don't see them anymore anywhere. They are just enabled to manage through PowerShell, actually. So please keep this in mind if you start trying this. You cannot see it in the UI, actually. So there's no collection, but we have our application on the website. And now I have to set the desktop assignments just to see if this works. I will assign user 1, so me, to desktop 1, and Marcos to desktop 2, so everything is working fine. Let's go ahead, run this script, and here we go. Nice answer, true, true. And it's deployed, actually. So if we ask for it, we can see the desktop name and the name of the user. You can also use this commandlet if you want to figure out how the auto assignment worked. So if you have more than two users and more than two desktops, you will have a list of 50 desktops and the regarding users also. And you should check this. So now I can connect. It's not a problem because my machine is there. Everything is fine. I can go into it, connect. And here we go. And when we look at this, we've seen loading virtual machine. Ignite RDS01 is a connection broker still, but we're every time reconnected to RDS02 because there's no load balancing. So every time it's RDS2. If we go ahead now and shut this machine down, this is what I've done here. So the machine is gone. And we try to start the connection again. What's happening now is we still have the loading the virtual machine and loading the virtual machine and loading the virtual machine and loading the virtual machine. But there's no redirection to the other host, which is there. The connection is just aborted. And this is something you keep track of in your help desk because if your user is calling and said, yeah, I clicked on it, it was loading and then it was gone. Yes. It's a bit difficult to figure it out. But keep this in mind, the direct assignment of server desktops. If the server is not there, the user gets no connection. And he, unfortunately, does not get a good error message. Like, hey, your server is not there at this time. It's just aborting. And yeah, you have to handle this through your help desk. Now I've got it. To your help desk. So let's have a look at the script itself again. If we go a bit further into it here, you can see, where's my mouse? There it is. These are the standard PowerShell scripts for running session deployments. So it's nothing new. The only new thing is that you have the personal unmanaged sign here on this side. And this is the small difference between seeing something in the UI and not seeing something in the UI. So keep that in mind, not playing around with it and then wondering why all the VMs are gone. So to believe me, let's have a look here. I have the VM online. Now let's have a look if it's working through our Wi-Fi. Here we go. There it is. Actually, we have the collections tab online, but there's nothing inside. I can update it how often I should. But there's no collection and there are no host servers anymore. But the servers are still in our RDS deployment. You can see them here. That's okay so far, but no manageability. And, come on. Just log in again. This was the wrong password, I know it. Here we go. So what we have here, you see, it's also connecting you to the integrated system management area for remote desktop connections. So you can add it to your, to your start menu, for example. And if you click on it, so now the VM is back online. It's still a connection for the connection broker, but in the back end, it's a connection to the virtual machine, to this particular virtual machine. And at this machine, I will have also administrative rights because I choose to deploy it in this way. Here we go. Let's have a look. This is Eric Berg. It's a standard user. And now we have a command prompt and just check who am I? Why is caps lock on? So that's pretty strange. So I'm VM admin because the wrong machine was chosen. Let's run it here. I'm Eric Berg, but I can't start the PowerShell as an administrator because now on this particular host, I'm Eric Berg, but I'm a local administrator. Now you can give your user the choice to install things, to change things, to do whatever he wants, but keep track of it because sometimes they do things that are not okay anymore. Okay, so far. Let's switch back to the presentation. If I find my... Yes. So for a German, it's very hard to work with an English keyboard. But now it's working. Okay. So actually, what we figured out is, I think it's a cool feature because we can do a VDI solution in Azure or also in your own on-premises infrastructure, but there are some strange issues, actually. So in Azure, just one VM, no SLA. If the VM is gone, we get no error message, and all the management is through PowerShell. So maybe we should take this as a point for the future. Everything is going to PowerShell direction and UIs are for the past, for example. Okay, so I've seen several of you have made photos of it, but it's not necessary because everything you've seen actually from the scripts over the demo, if you want to have a look deeper into it, you can find it on my blog, you can find the videos on YouTube, and also you can find the code in GitHub for this PowerShell, and you also can find the presentation. You can do a photo of it, it's not a problem. You can also find the presentation for download, and yeah. You're absolutely allowed to contact me after this session or in the next days, weeks. It doesn't matter. If there are any questions I can answer, I will do it. And one thing, please don't forget it. You had several sessions today, lots of sessions today. Please give us feedback, because just with feedback we get better. And yes, last I can just say, see us tomorrow, 4 sessions tomorrow with me, and from 9:45 to 12, you will find me at the Server Management Tools booth in the Windows Showcase area. And if there are any further questions, just come up here and we can discuss them. Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.